One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Our Father, we offer to Thee now our worship and the adoration of our hearts. Pray that this may be a good hour when we'll forget the cares of the day. And if there have been disappointments, remind us they didn't come from Jesus. And if there's been heartaches, we know that there's none but what Jesus can heal. Bless those that were saved today. We thank Thee, Father, for every blessing. Pray that You'd bless our visitors and our guests and help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Old Bob kind of thrilled me today. He said, you know, he called on the Lord last night and asked Him to save. He said, that's the first time I've slept years. Mm-hmm. Jesus knows how to give peace. Mm-hmm. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And I believe a lot of things have happened. Bob came to be with us and then left. While he was gone and out of touch with home, his mother went to be with the Lord. But her prayers have been answered, and she's known all about the happenings of last night. And I imagine she raised quite a ruckus in glory last night. I just imagine she really threw her bonnet over the heavenly windmill and hollered glory to God last night when she knew her boy would soon come home and to be with him. There'd be a reunion on the other side. To me, these things are real. If they wouldn't, I wouldn't be in this work at all. But they're just real. I'm going to preach tonight a message the Lord gave me, I believe this afternoon, on a little word spelled K-N-O-W. K-N-O-W. You have your Bible. Over in the book of Ezra. In the book of Ezra. Now, that little book comes just before Nehemiah. Ezra, I started to tell you that we have the communications down the intercoastal. We have what we call a CB, a citizen band radio. And we have a big deal that comes to the office where we talk to the people down there. Sometimes emergency arises. One night, I got an emergency call about 2 o'clock in the morning. They said a man has fallen. He has a heart attack. And I mean, he has a very heart, serious heart condition. He's a dear friend, Ezra 10:4. And so he said, I want you to, would you be afraid? Some of the men said, would you be afraid to fly down here at 2 o'clock at night, land on the beach and pick up this man and sort of rush him into the doctor? His ribs are broken. He's not able to ride in the boat, and the water's rather rough coming across the back. I said, I'll come. So I got down there and picked him up and brought him in. But we use a little term when you're talking. He gives me a message, and if I receive it, I say, 10-4. 10-4. And that's just... Now, I got to looking in the Bible, and I want to give you 2 10-4s that I think would be a real blessing to you. Ezra 10-4, arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. Now turn to Romans. 10:4. Romans 10:4. This is a great 10:4. This whole world is religious, but I'm afraid lost. I was talking to Miss Bateman on the phone today, and the advantage that I have with the people out here is we all know we need help, but sometimes the Sunday morning church member doesn't realize how much help they need. There's an element of self-righteousness, because after all, I've made a good living. I'm clean, and I pay my bills and my debts, and I've been nice neighbor to neighbors, and I've been good to my family, and I haven't done anybody any wrong. And first thing you know, they get sort of satisfied with that kind of self-righteousness. Let's see what he said. Romans, we better read the first 4 verses. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You know who Israel is? That's the people of God, are supposed to be. That's the religious crowd of the day. That they might be what? Saved. You mean you want Israel saved? Right. They were religious, but not saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted unto them unto the righteousness of God. Now, people that are not righteous inside try to be righteous on the outside. For instance, I talked to a sinner, and I said, would you like to be a Christian? Well, I'm not so bad. I mean, what's he doing? Trying to establish his own righteousness. I said, no, but you need to be saved. Yeah, but I haven't wronged anybody. I mean, I'm clean. I'm better than a lot of people in the church. What's he doing? He's trying to establish his own righteousness, which he didn't have any. The Bible said all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. We're all as an unclean thing, every one of us. You know, that's the sweet and blessed thing that I believe the Lord has given, and that is to know and realize that but for the grace of God, somebody else would be preaching here and I'd be sitting there. I know that. I mean, I got sense enough to know it because I've had all the desires. And I tell my boys in the jail and the penitentiaries, I said, now, fellas, I've already done everything you've done except for the grace of God. I mean, and the things that you've done that I haven't done, the only thing kept me from it was the grace of God. I could have done it. I could kill a man. All you got to do is just pull a trigger. All you got to do is just get mad and then shoot him. I mean, then he's gone, and that's it. You know, it's a marvel to me how little temper flying goes on around here. Now, we had a fellow not long ago to get real mad, you know. Boy, he got real mad, and he pulled out. Down the road he went. I mean, he walked down to the Bennett barn, I guess, and he's gone. I mean, he's swelled up. Listen, he's like a poison pup. I mean, he just had it. I mean, he's in jail tonight, but I believe he's ready to come back, and we'd be the first one to take him back. Well, let me ask you a question. Did Jesus just keep on taking you boys back? I thought you might ought to say that. Yeah, the Lord just has been so gracious to me. Don't you remember when the disciples said one day, they came up to Jesus and said, listen, how many times do you suppose we've got to forgive somebody? Seven times? That'd be plenty, wouldn't it? He said, 70 times seven. 490 times. Oh, one of them spoke up and said, increase our faith. Amen? And that's it. If I'm going to have to forgive a man 490 times. But I tell you one thing, the Lord's forgiven me more than 490. I'll guarantee you I've hollered forgive more than any 500 times. And my prediction is you have too, and if you haven't, you ought to been. Because I'll guarantee everybody in here has sinned at least 500 times. Oh, yes, we have. Not bragging about it, but it's the truth. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. 10:4, for Christ, here it is. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You know, most people dread the end. Have you ever noticed that? People said, I just dread the end. Well, dear friend, Jesus is the end. If you walk with him, he'll be the end. He said, I'm the beginning, I'm the end, I'm the Alpha, I'm the Omega. That's the first letter in the alphabet, the last letter in the alphabet. And he said, I'm the resurrection, I'm the life. He said, he that believeth on me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. And so there's no death. There's no death. I mean, what people call death is just sort of an underpass to glory. I mean, it's just a cessation of breathing and a transplant. I mean, we just go to live somewhere else as Christians. And so he said, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Turn to Jeremiah 10:23. I don't know why, but I open this up today. Jeremiah 10:23. And I want to show you something. And I'm going to preach on it. And I'm going to give you six things to start with. 10:23. O Lord, I know. Tonight I'm going to preach on what I know. What I know. Now, we don't want anybody to feel embarrassed about not being able to find something in the Bible when you first get here. But after 7 days, I want you to get embarrassed every time you can't find it here. Because anybody that's been here 7 days, you've had time to memorize the books of the Bible. So get at it here. Just get at it. And I know the way to get you to do it. It's just to lock the dinner room in there and say, now, you learn the books of the Bible and you come eat. And I'll guarantee we'd get them, wouldn't we? Now, listen, I want you to memorize the books of the Bible because you can't find anything in the Bible until you do. And so he said, I know. What do you know? That the way of man is not in himself. I know that man doesn't have his way. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Isn't that the truth? Wouldn't you just be honest with me now and say, you know, that just hit me right in the middle of my heart. I mean, I've tried to direct my steps, and I want you to know I made the biggest mess you've ever heard of in your life. I wound up a dopehead or a drunkard or, you know, I just tore up my little clock of life. And here I am, right? Why? you try to direct your steps. Just like old David today. He wouldn't mind me telling him, bless his heart. Oh, he said, I think I'm going to straighten up. He didn't do it. He just changed from shooting dope in the veins to the foot. I mean, that's about it. Poor old David was about dead. Just about dead. I gave him some carrot juice yesterday, and he came back down there like a calf. Said, I want some more. Said, I want some more. Said, baby, give me a cent. Well, of course, it'll heal you up. Nothing. Why, if I had an ulcer, I'd put nothing in but carrot juice. It's the most healing thing. It's a miracle plant of the ages. 20 years I've been drinking it. That's right. Haven't been to the doctor. Haven't taken an aspirin tablet. Don't take a bunch of junk like that. And, I found something that works. I know something that works, and I found it, and I'm going to use it. I'm going to take advantage of it, because I need to keep on going. I passed here last night, 3 o'clock, nearly 3 o'clock in the morning, see? And everybody's sound asleep, and that's good. That's where you ought to be. That's where I wanted to be. But I got in at 3 o'clock, flew yesterday afternoon, left 20 minutes to 3, and flew into Danville, Virginia, and landed up there and had a great time in 2 services last night. The altar was literally filled with dozens and dozens and dozens of people that came. We had just a wonderful, precious time. Now he said, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Now I want to give you some things tonight. First of all, there's some things that I don't know. I'm pretty sure there's just a flock of things I don't know. I mean, you could tie me up, tangle me up. Fact is, I'd be sort of foolish to go up and tell Killis and Billy how to run that dairy, see? Because, you know me, the only thing I ever did was just grab them like that and start. I milked my way through school, though. I really did. I took a little old Jersey cow with me. And man, if I'd have had me a Holstein, man, I don't know, I probably could have made some money, see? I mean, I could have paid for somebody else's boarding room. I had to put 3 gallons of milk on the table every day. What's your biggest producer? How much would she give? The biggest producer you've ever had. How many gallons a day?
10, 11 gallons.
10, 11 gallons. Yes. I'll tell you, she wasn't fooling around, was she? Isn't that something? 10, 11 gallons. Of course, now, you know, I'm from Texas. You're going to have to excuse me because I've only run into one cow down in the valley. She gave 12 gallons a day. I mean, I've just never heard of that. I mean, that's just almost too much milk for one cat. 12 gallons in a day. And actually, the udder or the bag drug the ground. It dragged the ground. Yes, sir. But of course, you know, they said, well, I tell you, Brother Olaf, she doesn't live as long. She doesn't live as long. That cow not last as long. I mean, something will happen to her udder. But something, I mean, she just won't live as long. But I tell you what, she really got a job done while she's living, didn't she? And that's right. And, you know, if God's people would just produce, I mean, you don't have to have a lot of talent. I mean, you don't have to have a lot of education. You just need a bunch of regeneration and sanctification, and then God will use you. I believe the Lord will use any kind of a vessel if it's clean, and he'll clean it. He'll fix it where it can be used. And I tell you, it's just amazing at the difference in you folks now than when you came here. It really is. And I mean, just your attitude and your knowledge and the light that you have and the sweet spirit and the way you look and the way you've built up physically and the brightness of your eyes and your face and your color and everything. And it's just, the Lord is able. The Lord is able. But there's some things that I do not know. The second thing I want to say is there's some things that when I'm gone, I won't know. I'll never know some things. I mean, there are a lot of things that I never will know down here. I mean, there's so much to be known. And the third thing I want to say is there's some things that I don't even need to know. And there's a lot of things that I don't want to know. I don't want to know the bad things. I know enough already. And the next thing I want to say, there's a bunch of things that I know that I wish I never had known. There's some smutty jokes that came into my poor mind years ago. I mean, years ago. And though I've never repeated them, I mean, since I've been right with the Lord, they're still available. And sometimes something will remind me. That old sinful memory will say, you remember that and you told? And I wish I'd never known that. That's the reason we want no one around here to tell any shady joke or any smutty joke. I don't care if 2 of you fellas get off where we honor.
in those old pine trees so far away that nobody could hear you but God, I tell you, he'll still listen to you. And I want your talk to be right. And if your talk's not right, your walk will never be right. This ought to be the cleanest place in this entire county. I mean, this is God's place. I just tell you, I'm just amazed day by day that God would ever give us. Nobody knows. I mean, the Lord knows of the anxiety and the misgivings and the tears and the testings that I went through getting this place over here. It's begun to shape up, and I begin to understand now people coming. And I just said, Lord, really, it doesn't take that nicer place just for alcoholics and narcotic addicts, but I couldn't get it off my mind. And when I told the bankers, I told Mr. Duncan, Mr. Traylor, and Mr. Peacock, I had put up $5,000 on the place. And I said, I don't have the assurance that I'm supposed to have him beside. And they looked at me, one of them did, bless his heart. And he said, well, you don't think you're going to get your $5,000 back? Sort of a tight-fisted, hard-hearted, businessman. And that's his privilege. I said, I need you three bankers need to know this one thing. If God doesn't want us to have that place, if you were to give it to us, it'd cost too much. And I said, if that $5,000 means more to you and you need it worse than we do in the work of the Lord, you just keep it. And I meant that. I wouldn't squabble. You couldn't drag me into courthouse over $5,000. I haven't got time to piddle around some old judge arguing about little. Why, God knows our needs, and I tell the world, you just do anything you can get by with, and God will permit you to do. But it wasn't long after that. And everything we've ever had to die before it could be resurrected. Brother Wilson, I've never entered a project in my life that didn't die, and then God would resurrect it. And then she'd go. I've never known Gideon had to die. He took the flesh and put it on the rock, and the fire came and consumed it, and then he tore down his father's god. Dagon and Balaam and all those old gods had to go when Gideon had a real experience with the Lord. And I tell you something else. If you ever have a real taste of the one that's the rock, you'll begin to get rid of all your religion then. You won't want any religion anymore. I mean, you'll be through with it forever. You'll just be satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? The next thing I want, and I'm coming closer to what I want to say, what I do know works and has satisfied ever longing of my heart. Now, that doesn't mean I'm a smart aleck. That doesn't mean that I made better grades than anybody else. I didn't. That doesn't mean that I know more than you could know. It just means that what I do know has really worked and met all my needs. Think about it. Now, you'd say, well, Brother Olaf, just how much do you know? Now, remember, I'm going to have to talk in the name of Jesus and with the leadership of the Spirit. So, therefore, you know that I couldn't brag because what I know, he gave. He revealed. It's not an explanation. It's a revelation. Now, I want to tell you what I know. I know how to go to heaven, and I'm going. That's number one. I know how to take you with me if you want to go. Brother, to me, that's just wonderful. But I wouldn't even stop there. I know the answer to every question on the face of this earth that needs to be answered. Now, that makes you sound like a smart aleck if the fact wasn't that I have to get it out of the Bible and the Lord had to give it to me, see. I didn't get it off of Baylor University, the Southwestern Seminary, or somewhere else. I got it from the Word of God. And I can answer every question you've got in this crowded room right now. I can answer every question you've got that needs to be answered. I don't care what it is. Any answer that's necessary to be answered, I've got the answer to it. I found the answer because I found Christ and he found me. And so I know what the answer is. Now I'll tell you something else. You do not have a problem tonight that I cannot solve by the power of God and the grace of God. Not a one. You do not have one problem that I cannot show you the answer to in this book right here. Right here. Now, to me, that's amazing. I mean, when thinking where I came from, I mean, I can feel my head in the flank of a cow now, milking. I mean, I know I can hear the rattle of a single old cultivator now. I mean, I can hear that old hole. And I can hear that file as I filed that hoe and got ready to chop cotton and cut weeds. I know where I came from. Brother, thank God, I know I've found the answer to every problem, solve every doubt, erase every doubt, and give victory in every life. And if the world knew what I know, there'd never be another shot fired at people. There'd never be another bomb fall. There'd never be a ship go down. There'd never be a flaming plane fall out of the air with screaming soldier boys. There'd never be no more war mistress boys. I'll guarantee you, if people had in their heart what I have in my heart, and that's nothing but the love of God, which was demonstrated, donated, and distributed by the Holy Ghost, and it'd stop every war. We're being bled white in this country. Politics and filth and meanness and ugliness are rushing around the world. Selfishness. You know where wars come from? Come from the devil. Yes, they do. No, I tell you, but we're going to have them right on up to the end. But this coming a day, just as sure as I stand here, when peace is going to run down like the rivers and cover the earth like the waters cover the sea, and we're not going to learn war anymore. And we're going to beat our old swords into plowshares. And peace is going to be the rule and not the exception. And Jesus is going to be the peace giver and the ruler. He'll be the one that'll... And you think about 1,000 years of beautiful, wonderful Bible reign by the Lord Jesus Christ on the face of this earth. When everything will be renewed, this old land that's sick unto death got to be shot full of fertilizer, and it's got to be, everything you grow's got to be poisoned with a bunch of stuff to kill ends. Everything's out of balance because we refuse to walk in the Word of God. When Moses came out of the mount, he said, I stayed in the mount. When he came out of the mount, he had the soil conservation program, the soil preservation program. He had the proper reflection and the right inspection, and he had the right complexion. He had everything when he came out of the mount. And now then, we've gotten away from the Word of God. The average man read the newspaper, watch television, morning, ever think about listening to the power of God and working with the Word of God and letting the Word of God. Folks, you got to get a hold while you're here. You'll never make it when you get out. I was talking to one of our men. He said, listen, I made up my mind. If I couldn't live with the simple rules and regulations while I'm here, I sure couldn't live by them when I got out. And I tell you one thing, as long as you live, if you live the way we teach you to live while you're here, and then you can live like that when you go out in the world. I mean, the world doesn't bother me a good deal. I mean, I have no temptation to drink, smoke cigarettes and stuff like that, and to cuss and carouse. I mean, because that's all cheap. That's what the world's doing. One of the reasons I wouldn't like to do that, because it's so cheap and so common, because everybody's doing it. I'd just love to be different. And the Bible makes you, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now then, I want to give you some no's in the Bible. I want to give you some no's that are jotted down. Turn to Romans 8, verse 28. Now listen, I guarantee you'll always find Romans 8, 28. It'll come in handy, no matter, and listen, there's not any experience you'll ever have as a child of God, but what this will include, it'll take care of it. Romans 8, 28. And we know, now there's the word know. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All right. Now that actually means this, folks, that when you get in the will of God, everything's going to be all right. I said last night, and this has been a blessing to me the last week or two, there is no danger in the will of God, and there is no safety outside the will of God. Why are we having so many accidents and strange things happening across this? How many accidents are really in the will of God? Does a Christian live by accident? Have you ever heard anybody say, well, life is a gamble? I walked up to a man and on the street in Corpus Christi, and he held out a little ticket, said, I'd like to sell you a chance on this car, dollar ticket. Said, this goes for the veterans. I said, I don't gamble. He said, what? I said, I don't gamble. I used to, but don't anymore. He said, you don't think this is gambling, do you? I said, no, I know it is. Don't have to think about it. Well, he said, and of course, you know, he led into me. He said, well, don't you think we ought to do something for the veterans? And I said, yeah, I'll give you a dollar for the veterans, but I don't want you to take it. I mean, I'm not going to gamble. I'm not going to bet a dollar that I'm going to win a car. That's exactly what I'd be doing. See, I mean, you see, when you trust in the Lord, he takes care of his children. I don't have to. Life is no. Well, he said, all life is a gamble. I said, that's not so. In the will of God, it's sure. God told me that we know that all things work together. It's going to come out all right. God said he'd supply all my needs. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these things be added unto you. Brother, when I left the city of Corpus Christi a few days ago, I had to see a miracle in less than 3 days. And I want you to know, I'm talking about a miracle of manna falling from heaven You say, how'd it come out? It fell. It fell. I mean, when you already write a check for, say, nearly $7,000 and you don't have over two or three in the bank, I mean, something got to happen because that check, it ain't going to get lost. It'll come on back. I mean, they just got a way of getting those checks back to the bank. And sure enough, it came back and it's honored. I didn't honor it. The Lord honored it. See, I mean, he took care of the need. You know why? And I just keep thinking this. God's powerfully interested in people like y'all. Because if he wasn't, we'd never be able to foot the bill. Now, we know, Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are the called of God. There's just one thing you've got to figure out. Do I really love the Lord? Do I love him more than I love my life? Do I love the Lord? And am I according to his purpose? Am I living according to the purpose of God? You say, where is the purpose found? In the Word of God. Right in the Word of God. All right. Now go a little further with me. In Romans chapter 7, this is a tremendous truth. Verse 18, 7:18. For I know, there it is again. What do you know? Have you ever heard anybody say that? Well, what do you know? Well, just tell them you know Jesus. Here? I mean, that'll jar them. I mean, that'll bobble the cork. I mean, just say, well, what do you know this morning? I know Jesus is my Savior. And nut. You know, look at you. See? But I'd rather say, but have you ever, and then you know what the answer is? You know what the ordinary answer is text? It says, well, I don't know it. I do know it too. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to say, sure, I know it. Say, what do you know? No, Jesus is my Savior. If you don't believe it, you ask me. I'll sure tell you. I mean, I don't deserve to know him, but I do know him. See? Now then, but wait a minute. I had to know this other thing first. Until I knew this, I never would have found out the rest of it. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now then, Paul, this is the greatest man that ever lived that we know of except Jesus. I mean, this is the most affectionate. He's the most compassionate. He's the greatest soul winner. He's got the greatest evangelistic fire and flame in his soul of any man that's ever lived. The fact is, he said, I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, for I bear them record they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, for they going about to establish their own righteousness, what I gave, for Christ is the end of the law. And he said, I could wish myself accursed. I could be willing to go to hell if I'd get my kinfolks to go to heaven. Brother, when you get a burden like that, you're going to win somebody. Somebody's going to get saved. I mean, something got to give, and it'll be some old sinner. That'll give in. But you know what he said? I know that in me, that is in my flesh, in my 147 pounds, that's what I'm talking about me now, that dwells no good thing, not anything good about me, never has been. Oh, I hear people say, well, Brother Roloff, you just seem like such a good man. No, I'm not a good man. Unless God's in me, I'm not a good man. Oh, but Brother Roloff, you do so much good. I get letters and people call. Brother Roloff, you're gonna really have a mansion when you get to heaven because of the good. Listen, my mansion will just be by grace. That's all. I mean, I'll never walk up in some mansion and say, well, just look what I got. Boy, I sent the material on, didn't I? Oh, no, brother. Just be by grace. Just grace. And I'm just sure that when I get to heaven, before I walk into that house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, I'll kneel down on that eternally green lawn and put my face in the grass and say, thank you, dear Lord. I don't deserve this, but I want to praise you for it. And I imagine I'd have a praise in spell for a good while before I'd walk in to that wonderful home where there'll be no roaches and where there'll be no termites and where there'll be no sickness and there'll be no crippled children, where there'll be no dope and no filth, where there'll be no unhappiness, no brokenness, where there'll be no little crippled children to stand on the side of the playground and wish they could get in the ball game, where there'll be no smell of ether, there'll be no hospitals, and there'll be no gravesides along the hills. There'll be no undertakers with their old hearses crawling gently down those golden streets. Brother, we got some brave things ahead, you know that. And I'll guarantee if you don't have that to look for, you don't have one thing. Don't talk to me about your rolling acres or your cattle. And don't talk to me about your gold mines. Don't talk to me about your oil wells down in Texas. Don't talk to me about your clothes and your cars and your carpets and your bank accounts and your bonds. Don't talk to me about it. You haven't got anything. It'll all go with the using. Every bit of it. One of these days. I got talking to a friend today. There's a man he's an old bachelor. He's worth, I guess, between a quarter and a half $1 million. And that's all he's worth. I mean, that's all his value right there. You know, I'd hate to be so poor and all I was worth was money. I mean, I just hate to be such a rich pauper, wouldn't you? I mean, just think, one time, and this is, I always remember this, I fly over this airstrip down to Texas, and I landed there one day, and there's a big, beautiful, rolling, wandering mansion, see, on the hill. And an old man struck oil and raised cows and got rich, I mean, fabulously rich. And it looked like he just couldn't spend all he had before he left here, even though he made a noble effort. I mean, but he spent on himself. And the old man, he got up there and he got him a big transmitter, and he'd talk all the way, he'd talk 100 miles on his transmitter and tell his pilot to bring him a loaf of bread. See? And he'd take silver dollars. He'd take a whole pocket full, I mean, maybe 2 or 3 dozen silver dollars. And he'd throw them out on the street. And let them roll and watch the children fight over. Boys just fight over them, you know, tear their clothes and fight. And he'd stand there and cross his arms. That kind of entertained. He'd go to the old slush pits of some of his oil wells, pull out maybe 15 or 20 silver dollars and throw them out in the slush and let the colored people jump in there and grab them and come out, you know, with all that slush all over them, you know. And he'd stand there and laugh. And he's having him a time, he thought. But, you know, the last chapter was written, and it came out in the paper. He died. And down at the filling station, there was a colored man that gave some good philosophy. And they were talking about, as they often do in the little towns, reckon what the old man left. Reckon what the old man left! The colored man climbed out from under a car, grease all in. He said, pulled off his old greasy hat, I tell you what, he left it all! He left it all, that's right. That's what you're going to leave too, bud. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. You have nothing except what you've invested with him in the Lord Jesus Christ. You'd say, Brother Olaf, I guess I don't have much. You have your life. That's your greatest gift. That's the number one gift. That's the biggest gift to offer. Paul said, so as much as in me is, I'm ready. See, as much as in me, not outside of me. What's on the outside of you don't amount to too much. What he said, I know. He said, whatsoever's in me, see, in as much as in me is. Now, the only thing you could have in you would be Christ and his love and his wonderful grace. Well, I know that in me that dwells, that is in my flesh, that dwells no good thing. Isn't it strange how people try to decorate the flesh, expose the flesh? I mean, this little new deal they got out for the miniskirts and all that bunch of junk. The mother of the miniskirt was a harlot. It's one of the filthiest stories you've ever read, and to read why she invented the miniskirt, and then here come along a bunch of so-called Christians and want to grab a little miniskirt, you know. I'm not fussing, I'm just simply saying, God's people, if there's no good thing in the flesh, we ought to keep it properly covered. I want to say something else. When Moses came out of the mount, he said, and I mean, this is just simple, but this is what the Bible said. It still ought to be that way. That a man ought never to wear women's clothes. I mean, I can't imagine any man being sissy enough to wear a dress. And I tell you something else, and that's to see a man with long, shaggy, shabby hair curled all down his collar. You know, I feel like I just like to, you know, excuse me, I just like to get him with the hair of a head and just pop his heels off, sort of, you know. I mean, God said that a man ought not to wear women's clothes. It also said that a woman ought not to wear men's clothes, too.
Amen.
I just believe a woman ought to look like a woman. I mean, you ought not to be in doubt who she is or whether she's a he. I mean, you ought to get it all fixed up. That's right. But the Bible's plain about that. But you see, we've gone away from the Bible. Nobody thinks of living by the Bible anymore. And if you even preach it like I preach it, people said, why, it's a fanatic. I mean, that's none of his business. I know it's some of God's business. If you know what I think's pretty, I mean really pretty and sweet and elegant, it's a lady properly dressed in a lady's clothes. I'm telling you the truth. And that sure looks a lot better than a crossbreed between a man and a woman. I mean, you couldn't tell, see. I think that's what God intended. Our decorations are to be on the inside, meek spirit. The ornaments are to be on the inside. All right. John chapter 9, he said,
This fella said one thing I know. I don't guess he knew much. He's been a blind man all of his life. John chapter 9 and verse 25. Now, you could know this, and I'll guarantee you without this, you'll never know what you ought to know. This man's been blind all of his life. Jesus came by with his disciples, and they got to talking about who was to blame for his blindness. And Jesus said, well, let's let theology wait, and let's get his eyes open. And let's let the discussion wait. We're going to get it. You know, Jesus was the most practical man I ever saw. When he heard a little child cry, he said, well, let's get some bread. Let's feed him. I mean, when he saw a hungry multitude, he said, he didn't talk about the importance of food. He just went ahead and started making some. I mean, he didn't preach on the tragedy of hunger. He said, let's get rid of it. Jesus was the most practical man that ever lived. I mean, he went to a wedding, first miracle ever performed, went to a wedding, and it's supposed to be a happy occasion. They'd run out of refreshments, as far as I'm concerned, and he made some grape juice. I don't think he made intoxicating beverage. You'd never make me believe that Jesus run a liquor store or a liquor mill in my life. Can you imagine Jesus going to a wedding and making a bunch of strong drink and intoxicate the whole bunch at the party and break up the home before they got started good? Can you imagine that? Why, I can't either. I know you'd say, well, Brother Wolofs, because you don't know any better. I don't want to know any better than I know now, because what I got works. And so I'm just not going to, you can argue all you want to argue about it. And I believe that Jesus Christ made some good fruit of the vine.
Amen.
And it's refreshing and good. And listen, how could Jesus make something bad without sinning? And the Bible says no bad thing can come from a good tree. And no good thing can come from a bad tree. Now, if he made intoxicating beverage, you'll have to admit he made something bad. And so something bad came from a good tree, or either he's a bad tree. Thank God he's a good tree.
Amen.
And anybody that makes liquor, drinks it, and anybody that sells it and serves it, and even smells of the bottle, pulling on the same rope with the devil and John Barleycorn. And Soviet Russia and all the rest of it. I just believe, dear friends, it's time for God's people to hate sin and to take our stand. But this man said, I know something. I know. You know what he said? Whether he be a sinner or no, they's arguing about Jesus being a sinner. Oh, they said, listen, that guy's a sinner. You know good and well. I mean, he's a sinner. But he said, I don't know about that. I guess I'm a little slow on my theology. See, I've been blind all my life, couldn't read nothing anyhow. And he said, I've been going down to synagogue. And, of course, down to synagogue, he didn't learn anything about Jesus. And, in fact, it was last Saturday morning. That's Sabbath, you know, that's synagogue day. And said, a little rabbi got up in the pulpit, and he said, now, if anybody, I understand this fellow Jesus is coming to town, and I want to announce right now that if any of our people has anything to do with him, you get booted out of the synagogue. Boy, that's getting strong, wasn't it? This old blind man sitting there. He didn't know then, you know, that he'd have his eyes open, but I tell you one thing, when he got open, he didn't mind getting booted out. And he did, too. Ma and Pa booted him out, neighbors booted him out. Rabbi booed him out, but Jesus took him in. And he said, I don't know whether he's a sinner or not, but one thing I do know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Listen, folks, y'all have got to come to an experience like that. Every last one of you. You've got to come to the place where you'd say, well, there's one thing I do know. I don't understand everything about the Bible, and I couldn't quote all of it. Guess I'll never know all of it. But there's one thing I do know. I came here a drunkard, and I'm going away a saint of God. I know one thing. I came here bound by old Satan himself. I'm going away loosed and happy in Christ. You could know that. You could know that. Let me tell you something. There are two things you've got to know before you leave here. And if you don't know them, you ought to stay here till you die of old age, and we dig a hole out and put you in it. Have to. You ought to know, first of all, you've been saved.
Amen.
And number two, you ought to know the will of God for your life. You're just as obligated to do the will of God as I am. And God just, as I say it reverently now, God just as obligated to reveal his will to you boys and you girls and you women as he is to Lester Roloff. And I believe there's just as much joy in you doing the will of God as is in me doing the will of God. And I believe that God's already got written down in the Bible. You're going to find the same place where I find. That's in the Word of God. I never found the will of God until I got in the Word of God. And it's all written down. This is his last will and testament right here. This is what he left behind him. And I tell you, when loved ones die, they leave a will. And it's got to be, first of all, it's got to be written. It's got to be sealed. And it's got to be witnessed, see? And dear friends, Jesus Christ left this Bible and left this Word, and the Holy Spirit has witnessed, and saints have witnessed to it, and the Holy Spirit will certainly witness in your own heart that this is the Word of God. But he said, one thing I know, One thing I know, where I was blind, now see. Now then, we're coming to close the message, 1 John chapter 5. What? How can I know it? I want to know how I know it. Now, you know, Brother Olaf, I've been around beer joints and nightclubs and taverns and wine drinkers and whiskey guzzlers and cigarette smokers and gamblers, and that's all right. I mean, that's in the past now. I'm not fussing about that. I can't condemn you. No need me beating you over the head about that, because you've already made up your mind that that's not the right thing. You came here and said, I know that that doesn't work, so I'm going to give you the scripture, and this is how you can do it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, there it is again, that you may know that you have what? Eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. All right. Now, he said, these things have I written. You know what he's written? The Word of God. Now, then, what I've been trying to tell you all the time, you've got to get in the Bible if you want to find and do the will of God. You're not going to ever. Now, I can tell when it begins to catch you on, see? I can tell when you all begin to kind of lighten up and brighten up and, as old Herbie said, smarten up, see? And we need to smarten up. Did you know that? I mean, yeah, you can't do any better than you know. And most of us don't do as well as we know. But you could never do better than you know. But if you know the truth, if you know the truth, Jesus said, happy are you if you do it. And so the happiness comes from doing the truth, you see. And it's not, he said, like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, and then he goeth away and forgetteth straightway what manner of man he was. Now, we're to look in the Word of God, in the perfect law of liberty, and that's where we get it. Now then, turn with me to the same chapter, 5, in verse 2. We're going to stay in the book of John, 1 John, till we close. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Now, how can I know? Do you love God and do you love His commandments? You say, what's His commandment? Word of God. You know, one of the greatest commandments in the Bible takes in all the rest of them. Don't worry about the Ten Commandments if you keep one commandment. He said, be not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Now, that's the greatest commandment in the Bible. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, don't worry about the Ten Commandments. Now, I believe in keeping the Ten Commandments, but I believe in keeping them in Christ, because I can't keep them. I mean, I haven't kept the Ten Commandments, but except in Christ. But I'm not against the Ten Commandments. I'm for them. I believe they ought to be kept. I believe that the moral law still is intact today, and God's people need to keep it. Now then, let's go a little bit further. In the fourth chapter, and verse 13, hereby we know we, see, hereby know we are, we know that we dwell in Him and He in us. Why? Because He's given us of His Spirit. Now the question is this, whose spirit do you have? What kind of spirit do you have? Do you have a lying spirit? Do you have a fussing spirit? Do you have a grumbling spirit? Do you have a complaining spirit? Do you have a critical spirit? That's not the Spirit of Christ. Romans chapter 8, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. He's none of his. Now whose spirit have you got? Now, if you heard me come by here in the morning cussing everybody in here, you'd say, man, I don't believe that's the Spirit of Christ. If you heard me call Brother Wilson, our guest for the week, out in these woods, and you heard me cussing him, fussing him, throwing rocks and sticks at him, you'd say, I don't believe Brother Wolf's got the Spirit of Christ. I don't believe I would either. I mean, I just wouldn't treat a guest or a visitor like that. You know that? And whose spirit do you have? I mean, whose spirit do you have? Well, our Bible said we know that we've passed from death into life because we love the brethren. We love the brethren. I used to tell my church members, I said, now, 26 years, you know, we pastored. I said, I don't care what you do to me, if you just love me real good before you do it. And that's sure, it cures a lot of it, doesn't it? Huh? Love covers a multitude of sin, and all of us got something to cover. And love worketh no ill to his neighbor. My precious mother, she's going to be with the Lord, but I tell you, she sure had a heap of patience. She really had a heap of patience. And I tell you, she had a forgetter that just forget everything bad I ever did look like. I mean, I'd remind her of it sometime, but she'd just forget. And I remember when I got called to preach, and old Leldon or Cat Brown and them old boys and would come and go home in for Sunday, you know, and I'd be maybe preaching in our church, you know. And I'd come in, and people started calling me Brother Olaf, you know, and the preacher and so forth. And it was an honor, tremendous honor. I mean, I just couldn't imagine, you know, right in my home community. And those old boys come home, you know, and my mother, she'd put a big spread on the table, and just like she could, you know. Oh, me. Listen, I tell you, the old table groaned under it. And then we'd groan with it. I mean, we just had such a wonderful time. And they'd look at my mom, and they'd say, and mother was so glad. She'd been praying for me for years. Never told me she'd prayed to be a preacher, but she God heard and answered prayer. But
They said, Ms. Roloff, you remember that time we set the house on fire, old Lester back in that room, and we knocked that carbide light over and had a pillow fight about 4 o'clock in the morning, and then he struck a match and the whole fire house caught on fire, and you remember how mean old Lester, you remember the thing? And she looked just like an angel. She said, no, I don't remember that. Why, she had to remember that. I mean, she was so glad that I'd quit having pillow fights, see? She'd forgot all about that. The Lord's like that. Oh, would you like for the Lord to forget about those old nights and days of wasted life? Would you like somehow for him to blot it out of his memory forever? Would you like for him to take his great big old blotter made out of the blood of Jesus and put it down on top of your old sins and blot them out? Remember them against you no more forever. Hide them as far as the east is from the west. Put them in the depths of the sea. Always think about a precious old shouting Methodist many years ago. He was just so vociferous. I mean, he was just so rackety in his shouting. He could just shout. Oh, he'd shout. I mean, if he's plowing. And, you know, I found out, I didn't have the light on a while ago, and I ran into one of these little tables down there, you know, and I want you to know I knocked a dent right in my leg and then this one. And I'm telling you, it just hurt. And, you know, before I knew what I was going on, I hollered and said, well, praise the Lord. And then I thought, well, what'd you holler, praise the Lord? Man, that's killing me. And I said, well, it didn't break it. Praise the Lord. See? And it's not going to hurt always. Praise the Lord. So I just went through the house hollering, praise the Lord. There have been other days, though, when I wouldn't have said it. I turned around and kicked that table over and maybe said some things to it, you know. And yet, that wouldn't have helped any at all. Oh, listen. But, you know, this old man, he'd just shout, I'm telling you. And finally, his boy wasn't, you know, he just didn't appreciate it. His dad didn't embarrass him. He'd just be out in the field. He'd start shouting, you know, see the sun come up or go down. He'd just anything make him shout. He'd have a great time. And his son, he could just read most anything. His son got an old geography book and pitched it in his daddy's lap, just disgusted with him. He said, now, read that and see what you can shout about. He went outside and he's cutting wood, you know, more than the chips was flying through the window. All of a sudden, glory to God! He began to shout, I'm telling you. And the boy finally went in and threw his hat down. He said, now what you shouting about reading the geography book? He said, I read here where the ocean is 3 miles deep and God's put my sins in the depth of the sea. Praise the Lord, they're gone forever.
Glory.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Lot to shout about. How do you know you're saved? One more verse. And we're through. One more verse. Found over in the third chapter. The third chapter in the 24th verse. We already said it. We're going to say it again. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him. He in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. That's it. We know it. He's living here now because his Spirit's in us. He's living here.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.